It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Pipeline construction has made life really difficult for some organic farmers in West Virginia.
We took MVP and FERC down the road, showed them all across this road from here all the way down to a quarter mile past where pellets were dropped all over the place.
We'll explore the effects of oil and gas development. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia Public Broadcasting's energy and environment reporter Brittany Patterson recently visited Summers County. She spoke with a family affected by natural gas pipelines built nearby. Pipeline supporters point to millions of dollars in economic benefits and thousands of jobs. But some residents living in the path of these projects have seen their way of life radically altered.
These will have to be... When Neil and Elizabeth LaFerrier moved to Summers County from Roanoke, Virginia about 4 years ago, they thought they had found a quiet, peaceful place to farm native medicinal herbs.
As we were walking further and further through the property, we probably identified 40 or 50 different medicinal plants that just by walking along the logging road that was here at the time.
This fall, less than a month after becoming organically certified, everything changed.
On the 7th of September, myself, my four children, and our intern were out about a quarter mile down the road from where we sit here, harvesting some ginseng and planting some of the berries and the seeds back, when a helicopter decided to fly over our property at a very low altitude.
Seconds later, bright teal-colored pellets began to rain down from the sky.
A couple of my children ended up with marks in their face. We all got hit pretty hard with them.
The LaFerriers quickly realized the helicopter was working for Mountain Valley Pipeline. Weeks after they purchased Blackberry Springs Farms EQT, the developers of the 303-mile project began mapping its route. The 42-inch interstate natural gas pipeline originates in northwestern West Virginia, crosses 11 West Virginia counties, and ends in southern Virginia. The family sold the project access to a few hundred feet of their property, but negotiated contingencies into the contract to ensure their 115-acre organic farm would not be impacted by pipeline construction.
We wanted to make sure that, you know, we were protecting ourselves for future of what we wanted to do up here.
But despite all of that planning, the couple could not prepare for what would be repeated dumping of erosion control pellets by Mountain Valley Pipeline on their property. After the September incident that impacted about 70 acres of their property, the LaFerriers immediately contacted pipeline officials. They filed reports with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, and multiple other federal and state agencies. Because the Mountain Valley Pipeline crosses through multiple states, it's primarily regulated by FERC. Neil says an inspector from FERC came out about 10 days after the incident with three pipeline representatives in tow.
We took MVP and FERC down the road, showed them all across this road from here all the way down to a quarter mile past where pellets were dropped all over the place. I asked him, I said, you know, is there anything that can be done to clean this up? And he said, no, there's absolutely nothing we can do to clean it up. Once it gets wet, it's there.
There was nothing these organic farmers could do to clean up the substances dumped by Mountain Valley Pipeline. But pipeline representatives assured them nothing like this would ever happen again.
The very next day, they start flying back over my property, and in this time, a different flight pattern, so they're covering other portions of my property.
According to the EPA, the product that was dropped is called EarthGuard Edge. It acts like a glue to help prevent soil erosion and runoff after an area has been cleared. It's made from elements that could invalidate the farm's organic certification for 3 years. The couple says they've lost customers because they cannot guarantee their teas, herbs, and other products are fully organic. And they said when they sought help to hold Mountain Valley Pipeline accountable, they came up empty-handed.
We tried calling the local sheriff, Summers County. We tried calling the state police. Both of those people referred us over to the Summers County prosecuting attorney, who basically said that, you know, they wouldn't do anything with it and that we should just call a local attorney. So when it comes to being represented or how we feel about, you know, trying to get something done, I mean, we're abandoned. There is no agency that gave us the attention and gave this issue the attention that it deserved. I can't fathom a corporation being held to lower standards than you or me would be.
West Virginia University law professor Josh Verche says when it comes to interstate natural gas pipelines like the Mountain Valley Pipeline and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, FERC is the regulatory body.
One of the challenges sometimes we see in this kind of production is law enforcement not being willing to get involved, even if it isn't within their authority. Complaints can be filed with FERC, and they can be noted, but FERC doesn't have its own enforcement on that front, and so it often comes right back to the state and local authorities.
With multiple interstate natural gas pipelines under construction through West Virginia, another issue that has risen to the forefront of landowners' minds is the ability of pipeline developers to use eminent domain to take private property. For Braxton County resident Jim McAllister, that reality drove him to sign over a 3,500-foot right-of-way to Mountain Valley Pipeline. The pipeline almost evenly dissects his 140-acre property.
It's a great big bet that they never take out to show you. They just talk about it.
McAllister and his wife moved back to West Virginia full-time about a decade ago to be close to family. The property's dense, lush canopies make it a great place to hunt morel mushrooms. One day, they had hoped to be able to sell parts of it for development. McAllister held out for nearly 2 years before finally agreeing to sell the Mountain Valley Pipeline. He was able to negotiate stipulations into the contract, but even so, he is acutely aware that everything has changed.
This is the first time I've been up here. I really haven't wanted to come up because you have to find a place that you can keep it and visit it when you can deal with it. But I haven't reached that place totally all the way yet. But
he estimates the area cleared by the pipeline will impact 1/3 of his land. The break in the tree canopy is detrimental to morels, for example. During construction, the McAllisters had their gas shut off for 5 days without warning and were blocked in by equipment.
Well, it's just shocking when they start to show up and you've got 20 guys or 30 guys up there and it's 2 or 3 weeks and they don't have a portage on.
But while construction has been disruptive, what really worries him is if he and his family are safe near this high-pressure natural gas pipeline.
I think I am most bothered by the fact that this is a technology that's in evolution, and they've picked our land to be their laboratory.
Last June, TransCanada's newly installed Leach Express pipeline exploded near Moundsville. A federal investigation cited steep, landslide-prone conditions found across much of West Virginia as the likely cause. Increasingly, McAllister wonders who benefits from the pipeline that has forever altered his and so many others' land.
My major aggravation is that we have state agencies and we have elected officials who were supposed to have hands-on and have a way to determine the best way forward with these decisions. And none of them have been evident. None of them have been active. All of them are passive because it's a development. It's generating income. But those that will share in that income will be select and few, and they won't by and large be West Virginian residents.
That was Brittany Patterson reporting. West Virginia Public Broadcasting did reach out to Mountain Valley Pipeline, but they declined an interview or to address specific concerns raised by landowners. However, in an emailed statement, spokesperson Natalie Cox said the project has undergone 4 years of rigorous review and project developers have been, quote, patient in our attempts to consistently work with the handful of landowners that continue to oppose MVP's progress in select areas along the route. We continue with another report from Brittany Patterson. On last night's episode of the Legislature Today, Brittany spoke with Delegate Joshua Higginbotham and Senator Stephen Baldwin about the growth and challenges of the oil and gas industry in West Virginia. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
Delegate Higginbotham, you signed on to House Resolution Number 6. Tell us a little bit about that resolution and why you decided to sponsor it.
House Resolution 6, as I said, recognizes the tens of thousands of West Virginians who are employed in this industry. Without the natural gas industry, without our severance tax, without the income taxes that are brought in from these jobs, we wouldn't have a budget surplus that we're seeing today. We wouldn't be able to focus on other economic development issues. We wouldn't be able to fully fund PEIA. And I don't believe that we would have the money for an additional public employee and teacher pay raise. So, you know, there are positives and negatives to everything, and I hope that we can find a balance between safety and job growth.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought up the word balance, because I'm wondering, you know, these are massive infrastructure projects, and we have multiple going on at the same time in West Virginia. And the landowners that are featured here, you know, are by no means the only ones that we've spoken to. And so I'm wondering, where do you feel like the legislature can come in and provide a sense of balance? Do you think we're doing a good job right now in protecting people as we put in these major pipelines?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that there's certainly work that still needs to be done in terms of health and safety. You know, a lot of people think that many of these things are state regulations, but the reality is FERC controls a lot of these regulations, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and they control a lot of those health and safety regulations, water and air quality standards, along with the EPA. And I'm not, you know, deflecting to them, but a lot of those regulations where it involves interstate commerce, where this is an interstate pipeline, they do control many of those regulations. But certainly there is more that we can do here in this state. And I look forward to researching some of those issues.
Yeah. Senator Baldwin, any thoughts on maybe specific actions that you think might be helpful to answering some of these challenges that we're seeing?
Sure. Thank you. I think there are actions that we can take. Are we taking those now? No, I don't think we've done a very good job at that. I mean, look, for example, just yesterday, there was a committee of the Senate looking at lowering water quality standards. The Mountain Valley Pipeline alone crosses over 600 water sources along its 300 miles. That's a lot of opportunities for something to go wrong, and there certainly are tremendous benefits to this for the state of West Virginia moving forward, but we've got to have balance. And just one example of how we have not yet achieved that, you know, I got a call from these folks. Well, just 2 weeks ago, I got a call from another constituent in Summers County who has a horse farm. Guess what was raining down on their property 2 weeks ago? As they called me, it was happening. So it's continuing to happen. We've got to find balance moving forward. We do not have enough folks on the ground to enforce at this point. And we also, as a legislature, have to enforce proper standards.
That was Senator Stephen Baldwin and Delegate Joshua Higginbotham speaking with Brittany Patterson on the Legislature Today. To hear the full interview, visit our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.
This is the time of year our chocolate connoisseurs wait for, when two West Virginia treasures, Hall's Chocolate and West Virginia Public Broadcasting, join forces. Through Thursday of this week, when you make a sustaining pledge of just $11 per month, we will send you a full pound box of the best chocolate in the world that also just happens to be made here in West Virginia. Visit wvpublic.org now to support the news, entertainment, and chocolate you treasure.
Hi, I'm Jim Lang, host of Eclectopia. This week we feature the wintry sounds of Denmark and winter. Eclectopia Friday night at 10, Saturday at 11 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.